Hello and welcome to the Breakthrough Coaches podcast coaching series entitled How to Roll Out TBC's Management Methodology to Your School Community. I'm Jill Pankost, Vice President and Managing Partner of the Breakthrough Coach. If you're listening to this session, your graduate of our two-day program had to work less, produce more, and still get the job done in a sensible school week. The purpose of this audio series is to support our alumni in the on-the-job implementation of the two-day program. As with any new program you undertake, challenges will arise. You'll have burning questions for which you'll want answers. You'll come to decision-making crossroads that call for out-of-the-box solutions. And inevitably, breakdowns will happen. Our podcast series is designed to support and encourage you through those make-or-break moments so that you thrive as an administrative team. Now that you've been steadily implementing TBC's management methodology over the last several months, folks in your organization are probably starting to notice the difference. At this point, many may be curious and want to know more, like, what's the method to your madness here? Congratulations for all the heavy lifting you've done to get to this place. It's now time to turn your attention outward to the rest of your organization. This podcast will outline for you the steps involved in rolling out TBC system to your entire school community. Let's start by exploring this idea of a school community. Truth of the matter is you have at least four distinct groups that comprise the whole of your organization. Your staff is one community with its own agenda, points of view, and ways of relating as a group, distinct from your parent community, which has an entirely different focus, communication style, and resources. Your student community has its own child-centered ways of behaving with you, different from your community of central office colleagues who rely on you as a partner to get work done. When it comes to explaining your new management style and practices, each community needs to be addressed separately because each has its own set of interests, ways of speaking, and relationship with you. However, all of these communities are being impacted by your new management system, and therefore all deserve an explanation as to how best to interact with you to get their various needs and goals met. In this session, I'm going to talk about how to introduce TBC to your teaching staff, knowing that eventually you'll be able to customize and transfer this conversation to the other communities that make up your organization. But I'm going to start with your teaching staff because they form the third ring of what we refer to as our concentric circles approach. As you recall in the two-day, we began our conversation with you, the administrator, at the center of it all. We then expanded the conversation out to your secretary because she forms the second level of support immediately surrounding you that's required to make the whole system work. Your teachers are the third ring of support around you and your secretary, and you must eventually bring this community on board if the program is to have any staying power in your organization beyond their connection to you as a personality. So now, as odd as it may seem, I'm going to start with what not to do and what not to say when introducing TBC to your staff. I'm intentionally starting with the don'ts because I know from my coaching conversations with many of you that the don'ts are really what you want to do and what you think you should do. But I'm warning you, if you lead with these, it will be counterproductive and you'll be sorry. So, number one, don't jump into this conversation with staff like they're all already prepared to play along. Be aware of the group's stage of receptivity. You're asking them to disrupt their pre-existing patterns, habits, and schedules in order to operate differently with you. If you're going to make that request of them, certain factors must be in place. First, like open communication between you and staff, as well as staff and your secretary. Trust. Do they trust you? Do they trust your secretary? Do they trust each other? Integrity. Do you keep your word with them? Do you do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it? Do they keep their word with you? Do they keep their word with each other? If these qualities are present among your teaching staff, they'll be more receptive to TBC. These behaviors and qualities are what allow you to step into their world and bring them something new. If they're missing, you need to step back and focus on repairing the relationships first. You can't just bring them what looks to you like the Holy Grail against a background of broken promises and agreements. If you do this, they'll misinterpret your new system as measures you're taking to create more separation between you and them. I repeat, your relationship with your staff must be intact first before this community is ready to receive what you have to offer. Number two, no zealot mindset. We are not looking for converts here. We're just asking folks to step into what we all know will forward our shared commitment to students. So do not, A, mention you've been to a new course about organizational management and or TBC at all. This just sounds like another flavor of the week, or that you're now attempting to copy something you just learned. People automatically become suspicious of that kind of talk. B, don't be preachy, like you now have all the answers to make it work. You are not a canonized saint yet. C, don't trash the past or make any past behavior wrong, either theirs or yours. No, this was bad, so now we're going to do this kind of talk. Bad and wrong talk makes people very upset, and then they end up not wanting to listen to you. And D, don't start by announcing your new plan of action at a big staff meeting just because you've got everyone there. The bigger the group, the bigger the initial reaction will be, and the more questions you'll need to deal with or defend in the moment. You're not practiced enough yet with your delivery to go there yet. And E, do not, under any circumstances, talk about how TBC is designed to help you have a better life. Your staff doesn't care about your life. They care about their own lives and how you, as leader of the organization, are going to create an environment that best serves them. Instead, I recommend you approach this conversation from a completely different angle based on the following three premises. One, there are stated commitments within the organization that you and your staff already share. If you can connect how TBC's management methodology is already or will positively impact those shared commitments, staff will be more receptive to the new system. Two, people always appreciate it when you put their interests before your own. And three, a community will respect a leader who first and foremost takes responsibility for their own behavior. So initially, you're going to develop what we call a TBC elevator talk and test run it with a small group of staff. An elevator talk is typically an overview of an idea for a product, service, or project. The name reflects the fact that an elevator talk can be delivered in the time span of an elevator ride. An effective elevator talk can generally be delivered in 5 minutes or less and answers questions like, what's your project? What will the project do for supporters? Why will the project be successful? Test running your TBC elevator talk on a small group gives you the opportunity to clarify and practice your language in a safe setting before announcing it at larger venues. The smaller setting is also more conducive to eliciting feedback as to what staff really think about the new system. Not to mention, it's far simpler to address a handful of questions at first rather than a boatload. To get some initial wins under your belt with this, we suggest you test run your elevator talk on the 20% of your staff who you know will respond eagerly to what you put out there. They're easily enrolled into anything you offer them. Remember, Malachi referred to this group as your early adopters or your low-hanging fruit. When he leads our teacher and the instructional leader program at school sites around the country, these early adopter staff members are our first tier of invited guests because we know they're an easier and more receptive audience. You're going to construct your elevator talk based on the stated commitments you and your staff already share, like your mutual commitment to student achievement, your desire to decrease incidences of discipline, and/or developing together as a professional community. When a community leader speaks to the commitments that the community collectively agrees are most important to them, the community can actually hear what the leader has to say. So, you might open your TBC elevator talk with something like, given that we all care about our students achieving on or above grade level in a safe and constructive learning environment where all members of our school community have the opportunity to grow and develop, I recognize that it's my job to provide you with the skill training, coaching, appropriate resources, and timely communication needed to fulfill on these commitments. The next portion of your elevator talk is where you take responsibility for how things have been in the past. You do this not to mercilessly berate yourself, but to acknowledge the truth about the past so you can complete this chapter in your history with integrity and move on from there. This portion of the conversation might go something like, now I know how I've been over the last couple of years, chained to my desk day after day, forgetting to follow up on your requests of me, just fighting to keep my head above water. And I realize now the impact this behavior has had on all of you. Susan, I know I wasn't there for you to get the books you needed for your reading room. Dave, I haven't given you the support you needed to improve your lesson planning skills. Donna, I know I've probably driven you half crazy by being late to all our meetings. I sincerely apologize for this behavior. I realize now I was unaware of some basic managerial practices required to keep it all straight. I would suggest a pause here to allow the group to respond to your last set of comments. Some may need to reiterate or add to what you've just said to complete these past incidences for themselves so they can move forward in their relationship with you. Prepare yourself. This portion of the conversation can be tricky, but keep in mind it's your job to have the difficult conversations. By allowing for some dialogue here, though, it affords the group a real opportunity to put to bed, once and for all, any lingering resentments so you can genuinely move forward together in partnership. When all is said and done, you can then transition to speaking about what's next. Your job at this point is to become a compelling storyteller about the future you envision for this community, understanding that your story should include statements about what your staff values most. So you might say something like, I want to build a staff whose skills are cutting edge and whose expertise is second to none. Or I want to train and develop each of you so that you become such hot commodities around here that you can write your own ticket for whatever job you want next. And in order to do that, I realize I need to be in your classrooms on a regular basis, observing and coaching you to achieve over-the-top results. You've now painted a picture of a future that the group can hear and wants to get on board with. And then finally, explain what you've been up to in the front office over the course of the last year. You could continue with, so what I've been doing to support these goals is... And then explain the TBC practices you've implemented that are particularly relevant to them, like office days and coaching days, organization of your office days by appointment, and or the process of making and managing requests. Always include an explanation of how each practice ultimately forwards the group's commitments to their students and to themselves. Remember, people appreciate and listen to what you have to say when you put their best interests squarely out in front. Complete the conversation by outlining any new management practices you intend to implement in the coming months and request that they support your learning curve. Emphasize that you want their feedback as to what's working or not working as expected and encourage them to make suggestions as to how you could improve. After you've delivered your elevator talk to at least five small groups, you'll be ready to speak it at a larger, more leveraged venue. By this time, you'll be able to anticipate audience Q&A, and you'll have examples of how TBC's management methodology is working in your organization. Now, even with all this conversation in the background, you can anticipate the following. Number one, just because you said it doesn't mean they got it. Plan on having to explain yourself several times over to each community. Invent new and creative ways to keep reminding folks about how you're now operating and the benefits to them when they support the system. During the first year of implementation, we recommend some form of a monthly message to each community that outlines how best to engage with you and your front office staff. You can use print media, like the letter to parents that Malachi introduced during the two-day, but other forms of communication work just as well and often require less work to put together, like doing a shortened version of your elevator talk at every PTO meeting, or using your voicemail and email auto-reply messages to remind folks you're out in classrooms and direct them to your secretary for assistance. Or establishing a column at your organization's website that specifically outlines your front office procedures. Number two, whichever way you choose to stay on message, include tangible examples of how the new system is making a positive difference. Talk to staff about what you're noticing on your coaching days, what looks good, or what's in need of improvement. You can share your focus for that month or give them a heads up as to what you expect to see during your next series of coaching days. Share with parents what you're seeing during your time in classrooms and acknowledge specific students in your reports. Cite success stories related to following the new protocol and thank your parents publicly for ways they've supported you and your front office staff. Update your supervisor regularly about what you're witnessing in classrooms and what you're now doing to impact what you're seeing. Make it clear to them that you're using your coaching days to directly forward their agenda. Go on record, make your accomplishments public, and thank people for their partnership. Number 3, use the feedback you're getting throughout the month to design next month's message. When you do this, people feel acknowledged. They can see the tangible results of their efforts and how their efforts are forwarding everyone's shared commitments. And finally, number 4, not everyone is going to like this. Get used to it. People will try to get around your system. Hold your ground. Sometimes you'll look like the bad guy. Sorry, this ain't a beauty contest, folks. This is about getting the job done for students. You're not going for good looks or likability here. You're going for people's respect and the opportunity to impact student achievement. Practice giving and keeping your word and managing with integrity. In summary, building school community support behind your TBC management initiative is a necessary step in the implementation process and should be conducted with careful forethought and practice. Always lead with the stated commitments that you and your various communities already share, and remember to articulate how your new management system will positively impact those commitments for everyone. Take responsibility for your own past behavior without beating yourself up or making yourself or others wrong. You are a learner in this process too. Give yourself and everyone around you permission to move forward from now. And remember, this is not about what's best for you or me or whomever you happen to be speaking to at the time. This is about what's best for your students. Be clear with people that this intention will always guide your actions. I'm reminded of a wonderful quote by the 13th century Persian philosopher and poet Rumi, who said, "Out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there." That is the field you are creating. Have a great time meeting with your communities there.